If you got your Bibles real quick, turn to Matthew. Let's get a share a word with you today. Matthew 7:24. These are exciting times that we are living in. Very exciting. We are privileged to be living when we are. They can be challenging times. They can be exciting times. And I want to talk about some of the things that are going on in our world and some of the things that Christ instructs us with. And so here we are in chapter 7 of and verse 24. Let me set this up contextually for you real quick. This is Jesus Christ just got done preaching the Sermon on the Mount. You know the Sermon on the Mount? Basically, he said here, he taught his concepts, his precepts, his mandates, his ordinances, his statutes, his commands, and his commission. And he said, listen, I want you to live your life like this because it'll be a firm foundation under your feet. If you line your life up with this, it'll be a firm foundation no matter what comes in your life during this time you live here on earth, you're going to be okay. You will be all right. You'll be founded on a firm rock. And so he finishing the sermon up and he's bringing it in for a landing in verse 24, and that's where we're going to pick it up. Here's his final comments, and he starts with the word therefore. I love that word because he's saying, in light of everything I just said, my precepts, my concepts, my mandates, my statutes, my ordinances, my commands, my commission, live like this firm foundation. Therefore, here's the sum total. So let's pick it up there. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. I'm going to stop there real quick. Now, you know I grew up in Pennsylvania. The Lord transplanted me down into Florida in 97. And when I got down there, I heard this buzzword, sinkhole, sinkhole, sinkhole. And I'm like, what is a sinkhole? I'm thinking the hole in my sink. What are they talking about? And then finally, I got a revelation one day. I'm driving by a home. I look off to the left. There's this massive hole in the driveway. The car is down in the driveway with only the tail light sticking out. I had a revelation what a sinkhole was. And I want to tell you, Florida, the peninsula, think of the peninsula, is one big sand barge. And Jesus says, don't build your house on the sand. Verse 27, he says, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. What is he talking about? He's talking about storm preparedness. He's saying, you got to line your life up with this stuff, with my word, because there are storms, and there are storms coming. We have experienced some storms and shaking we never would have dreamt of, right? Just 5 years ago, we would have never dreamt of those things coming. And so we're headed places. I'll tell you what, when I got, another thing about Florida, when I got down to Florida, I had to learn how to prepare for a storm. See, they have hurricanes down there. I never experienced a hurricane up here, but they have hurricanes down there. And so in 2004, we had four hurricanes hit. And I'll tell you what, when that hurricane came, we did extraordinary things, things I never did before in my life in preparation for that hurricane. It was incredible. And you know what I liked about, one thing I liked about it? It was everybody is pulling on the same end of the rope. There is a unity that a crisis brings that nothing else can bring. Everybody is working together and pulling on the same end of the rope. And you know the Word of God says that's where the anointing comes out, when there is a unity. Anything that slightly resembles a unity, that's where the power of God is, just the anointing is flushed out among us. And so anyway, I learned how to prepare for this storm. We boarded up windows and we boarded up doors. We brought anything that would blow away inside the home. I remember sitting there thinking, wow, what is that doing in my home? We did extraordinary things getting ready. I saw people drowning their patio furniture in their swimming pools. In other words, they didn't want them to blow away, so they sank them to the bottom of the pool so they wouldn't blow away. I mean, you wouldn't imagine the extraordinary things that we did in preparation. And then they have lists that we went to the store. I went to the store and bought everything that they told us to buy, flashlights, batteries, non-perishable food, you know, Sterno, all the things, water and candles, and we brought that into the home and got ready and prepared. And then after that, I went to my neighbors and I knocked on doors. I asked, I said, do you know, I had elderly people around me, I said, some, and I said, do you know a storm's coming? Can I help you? I got a car, I can take you to the store, I can help you prepare for this storm. I knocked on every door, everybody that I could possibly know in my general area. Then I got on the phone. Do you know a storm's coming? Can I help you get ready for that storm? And then after all that, after I did all that I knew to do, then I got in my home, and then I was a Turk at this point. I turned my TV on, and I don't think I turned it off in 5 days. I turned it on, and they had channels 24/7 tracking that storm. We had to track that storm, and I want to tell you, I was so obsessed with it. I had my laptop open. I had to track the flood zones and the wind potentials, and I went throughout my home, and I turned every radio on I had. In fact, I even put a radio in my bathroom, so when I was in the bathroom, I was hearing and tracking that storm. I hope you're getting the correlation without me blatantly saying amen. But I want to tell you, after all that preparation, that first one came, I had to evacuate. I had to evacuate actually 3 times during those storms and storm warnings. I want to tell you people, this is an escape hatch theology this morning, but you and I need to be ready today more than ever before to evacuate. Christ is coming soon. And it says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 18, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up. I like that, caught up. That's where we get our rapture. Another thing I like about Florida is the space program. I love that. I'd get on that space shuttle if they'd let me. I tell you what, but when it goes up, it creaks and shakes and it's going up and it's going up. I tell you, when we get caught up, if you got the Holy Ghost in you, you're going to be here. And in a twinkling of an eye, you're going to be here. It's going to be that fast. Boom, called home, boom. If you got the Holy Spirit in you today, and he calls that Holy Spirit home, that's how it's going to happen. The Bible says in less than a twinkling of an eye, he says, we will be caught up together with the Lord in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. I want to encourage you today. We live in a time we need to be like the children of Issachar. God said about the tribe of Issachar, he said they are a tribe that understands the times they live in and they know how to conduct themselves accordingly. In other words, they are tracking on his prophetic calendar. This is supposed to be a calendar. They're tracking on his prophetic calendar. They know where they are and they know how to make the adjustments. Those are the days you and I live in. They're exciting times. It's a terrible time to be asleep. We need to be tracking with God like never before. Let's jump over to Isaiah, and I got 3 quick thoughts. Isaiah chapter 40. For time's sake, maybe I won't set this up contextually like I did the last one. I'm just going to read. I got 3 things about God's, what I believe the Lord is telling us in these days in preparation and the days that we live in, how to conduct ourselves accordingly. I hear pages turning, I'll wait for you. Isaiah 40, and I'm going to start in verse 3. A voice says, and I don't know who got the 100 points on the 1040 window, but here's your chance, catch up. Okay, I'm going to read here. Isaiah 40, verse 3. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged plains a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. What he's talking about, see, back in those days, he said, prepare the way, prepare a road system. And what they did when they had a king coming to their town or their city, they prepared the road system. If there were crooked ways in that road, they got them straight so there would be absolutely nothing, no obstacle or any hindrance for that king coming into the town. If they had high places, they brought them down. Low places, we call that potholes in Pennsylvania, amen? Boy, we got them. And they would bring those potholes up. hopefully better than a patch. I've been feeling like I've been on a roller coaster ride. So I've had 13 years. It's been 13 years since I've been here. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember. It's like a wagon train. Anyway, it was preparing the road system. How many have ever been anywhere that the President of the United States has been moved? I've been 3 times. It's an amazing thing to see. They spent millions of dollars and they send people out weeks ahead of time and they prepare that road system. They interview businessmen. They check out every place. They instruct them what to do down into the secondary roads. And then that day that that convoy is going by, 15 automobile and trucks and media, and you don't even know which one he's in. Till that happens, I mean, the streets are cleared. The main street, it's prepared. And the secondary streets. And you have never seen more policemen in your life. Lined, you don't know where they all come from. I promise you, you would be as amazed as I was. Just for him to go flying by that area. You and I are called and sent ahead of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to prepare the road system for his return. Amen? I believe that's what God is saying. This is a time to prepare. We are called to prepare the road system. We prepare the road system. And, okay, for 100 points real quickly, who else said the same statement 700 years later? You got it. I don't know who got the first one, but you got 100 points there. John the Baptist said the same words 700 years later, and he used it for our hearts. He said, get the crooked way. Now's the time to get the crooked way straight. Now's the time to bring the prideful ways down. Now's the time to bring the low places up. It's time to get the road straight in our heart, that there is absolutely no hindrance in our heart right now. In the times that we live in, it's important to be able to let go of the things and prepare that road system. And then, of course, in our family. I have unsaved loved ones in our family. We want to prepare the road system. And then in our church, we want that road system straight so the King of Glory can come straight. There's no obstacle. He can come in here and do all that he wants to do in these final days that we're living in this church history. And then, of course, we want to prepare our community. You're doing that with helping this man and many other projects. I think I saw things on the walls. You're preparing the road system for the coming of the King in your community. And then finally, around the world, and you're doing that by sending the missionaries that you have, preparing the road system. Now, I would never meddle in anybody's. You're all mature and you understand where your crooked place is and high place and low place. But I think God is saying one thing distinctively during this time, is that we need to be consecrated and sanctified unto him more than ever before. That's our DNA. We started with Abraham. You remember Abraham? There was no Hebrew nation until he called Abraham. And he said, Abraham, I want to do something with you, but I can't do it there. You're living in Ur of Chaldees. I want you to leave your people, I want you to leave your town, leave your language, leave your relatives, and come over here, because here, then you are separated unto me for my purpose. That's sanctification. That's our DNA. That's where we started. I think of Egypt, you got the same thing. You remember Israel's in Egyptian bondage, perfect type of the world. I mean, they worship the sky, the sun, the moon, the stars. They worship the Nile, the fish in the Nile, the cattle, everything you can imagine, perfect type of the world. And what does God do? He raises up a man called Moses, whose name means draw out, and he drew them out of Egyptian bondage unto himself for his purpose and planted them where they are now in the 1040 window. That sanctification, separated from the world unto God for his plan and his purpose. I think of the word ekklesia. Ekklesia, it means, that's original language, the church. But it means called out ones. You know how we say we are the church? More accurately, we should say we are the called out ones. Ekklesia means called out. Called out of the world, out of the ways of the world, separated unto God for his plans and his purposes. That's sanctification. You are the called out ones. You have heard the voice. You have heard the call of the Holy Spirit to be separated unto God. I like what Jesus would just walk by and say, follow me. And they would just leave, drop everything. Sanctification. Let's go to the second point real quickly. In verse 6, it says, a voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all the glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall. But the word of God stands forever. I want to tell you, we're living in a time that we need to position on the word of God. There's going to be a whole lot of shaking going on. A whole lot of shaking has already going on. And now more than ever, we need to prove the word of God. Now we get tempted to stray away from the word of God, don't we? Now we get tempted to maybe back off on giving. Hey, I do too. We're all in the same boat here. Now is the time we prove the word of God. Now is when we put our head down and position on the word of God when it's tough. That's when it counts. If you didn't get my first point, it was prepare. We need to do extraordinary things in the days we are living in preparation for the return of God. Prepare the road system, prepare our hearts, do extraordinary things. We live in extraordinary times. My number two point is position on the word of God. We need to also be positioned wherever God wants us to be at this time. I'm going to read down a list real quickly here, and I'm not going to linger on any one. They are all prophetic signs that you and I are seeing in the day that we live in that no other church history has seen before. No other church in church history. We are living in extraordinary times, special times. You will recognize these, I'm sure, but I'm not going to linger. This is a whole different teaching for a different time, but I'm going to read the list. You and I have seen on May 14th, 1948, Israel became a nation. That had to happen. You and I have seen Israel recognized as a nation again. That had to happen to position us in church history. We could not really tell accurately where we are in church history without that happening. You and I saw it. People waited for it for years. That fulfilled Isaiah the prophet. That fulfilled the word of God that positioned us right before the tribulation period. What happens before the tribulation period? We believe we're going to be raptured, isn't it, right? We are not called to wrath. We might go through some persecution, but we're not called to God's wrath. It positions us. In 1948, they were recognized as a nation. People have been waiting. Pastors have been preaching by faith. Number two, the reviving of the Roman Empire. You and I are seeing a reviving of the Roman Empire. If I was teaching this series, you would see the maps, and I would show you maps. It is happening. We get that out of the book of Daniel. There is a monument, there is a timeline in Daniel, and there is a coming of Christ in Daniel, and we are seeing the reviving of the Roman Empire needed to happen. It is happening in your day and age. Amen? Number three, the United Nations formed in 1945. It started as the League of Nations, now the United Nations, in 1945. You and I have seen where the one world order government is going to be in the tribulation. Again, that puts us right, you know, the United Nations isn't working too good right now, but we know one day Satan will rule and reign from that one world order. You know we're going towards a one world order, right? Anybody with me there? We know that much? We are headed for a one world order, and that will be during the time of the tribulation. We believe we will be raptured. Can you see the greased rails we are on, especially with this current administration headed down that road? These are some of the signs. The one world monetary system. Oh, we would love to park there. We won't. The euro dollar. All the nations coming in the euro dollar. What's happening in America, it astounds me. It astounds me. Just 5 years ago, I used to pray to the Lord, you know, about the whole one world order. And if you're a researcher, you know, this, you can look this stuff up online. There are powerful men, powerful money behind this. This isn't some just by faith. This is happening in front of us. You can see the names. You can see the money. You can see what's happening. And so, where was I? 5 years ago, I would pray, what is going to happen to America to weaken us so that we would have to submit to another monetary system? You know, I never felt like I heard from God. And he was probably saying, just hang on, you'll see in a little bit. I don't need to pray that prayer anymore, do I? China has us over a barrel. Money is elevating. Bank after bank is buying out little bank. The money is elevating into one hands. I don't know if you ever heard of the Amero dollar. I don't know if that's going to happen, but there's, you know, there's plans for an Amerodollar where Canada, America, and South America will be in one monetary system. They even have it printed. They have maps of road systems. And I am not saying that's how it's going to happen. I'm just bringing signs. I'm just bringing signs and things we see. We see the elevating of money. We see us getting in a weakened position. We see the reviving of the Roman Empire. We see the money system reviving in the Roman Empire over in Europe. It is incredible. I follow the Viacan scan system. Anybody else? Number five, the technology's been there for about 20 years. It is amazing where we are with the Viacan scan system, which will be the scan system that in the tribulation you will have the mark of the beast. You can only buy or sell with it on your hand or on your forehead, and it will be a scan system. I've been watching that for many, many years. Do you know President Bush was a one world order guy, and he approved national cards. When they happen, I don't know. But he approved national cards that will have a barcode. It will have all your medical records, everything you ever bought, anywhere you ever worked, any house you owned, everything about your life. It's already been approved. How that's all going to come, I don't know. You know, I'm going to just keep going for time's sake here. Let's go on. Indonesia tsunami, I'm going to pass that one. And the rise of Islam, I'm going to pass that one too. It's amazing. Now, let me just quick say this. I have to say this, being that I'm called to the Islamic people. I think you know that there is a great tsunami that is hitting the shores of America, and it's our challenge of today to reach the Muslim people. We have approximately 9 million in the country now. There's over 1,200 mosques in the country. You know that they are territorial. And I can tell you from Florida, they are just buying up churches that are closing down. That's the way they do it. I could go on and on, but for time's sake, I just want to tell you, I see it this way. The Lord has given it to me. This tsunami has risen up out of the east. It has now swept over the European continent. You see where I'm reaching. 2.5 million Turks in England. That's only Turks. That's not the rest of the Muslims. That you see, if you're up on your current events, the trouble they're having in Europe. And they're crying across, they're screaming across the Atlantic saying, here it comes, here it comes, look out. I think you know even in England they're fighting with Sharia law. They want to get Sharia law in their court systems. And that's what they have planned here as well. And I want to tell you, what happened in Europe, Europe is a post-Christian, post-modern continent. And so, you know, to keep a zero population rate, not growing, not declining, you need a 2% birth rate. Because they're post-Christian, post-modern, they've been well under 2% birth rate, so they have been declining in population. It's been decades now that the Muslims have been coming for jobs and education, just like you heard my translator, Ali, came over in Germany many, many years ago, where he found Christ. And they come with their 5, 6, 7 kids, who now have had 5, 6, 7 kids, who have had now 5, 6, 7 kids. At the attrition rate we're at today, in just 9 years, Europe will no longer be the Europe we know. Just 9 years away, it will have a Muslim majority through the entire continent. And that tsunami has crossed the Atlantic and is hitting our shores. And I've got such a burden in my heart, along with a burden for missions and to go to the foreign field, but to blow the trumpet. I have resources out there that will help you to know how to understand Islam, how to reach Islamic people. It is our challenge. It's hitting our shores and it's coming like lightning fast. And it is our challenge. We're not going to stop it. I used to think I had to change the whole world myself. I'm sorry. I just thought that I had to do everything. I used to not lose sleep, but I was always forever going like, I still do, going like a madman, but I don't have that perspective anymore that I have to change or I can stop it. We're not going to stop it. We just have to keep peace and do what we can on a daily basis. What has God called us to do today? Be aware. Know what's happening in our world, and then meet those challenges and just do the best you can. We're not going to stop what's happening. Things are rapidly moving so quickly right now, And we just need to be where God wants us to be. Let me finish this point. Jesus said, when evening comes, you say, it will be fair weather for the sky is red. And in the morning, today it will be stormy for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but can you not interpret the signs of the times? Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near. It's right at the door. I tell you the truth. That always makes me laugh. You think Jesus ever lied? Jesus is saying, I tell you the truth. If you're King James, he says, verily, verily, I say. He's trying to make a point. I want you to get this. You've got to understand this. I'm telling you the truth. He says, I'm telling you the truth. He's saying, see these signs. Understand these signs. He says, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. I'm going to finish this point up with this. I believe we're like Joshua. Joshua was standing on this side of the Jordan, ready to cross in the promised land, and he took over for Moses, and like any good leader, he was separated himself, and he cried out to God, help! That's a good prayer. And God sent him an angel. I'm going to paraphrase, and then I'll explain. And the angel said, listen, Joshua, you're going places you have never been before. You're going to see things you never saw before. You're going to battle battles you never battled before. And so I need you to be very close. I need you to be in the position I have for you. How did he say that? He said, when you see the Ark of the Covenant lifted up by the priests, which represents the presence of God, and they head across the Jordan. He said, I want you 1,000 paces behind. That is my place and my position for you. You will be okay there. You need to be in your position today. Only you and you alone, you and God, knows where he wants you and where you need to be. I think you understand, positionally in your home, positionally in your church, positionally whatever it is at work. What is he called you to do? I don't know. But in that place he has for you, you will be safe. We need to be in that place. And we need to be tracking with God. I love what God said about Moses. He said, Moses is my friend. We speak face to face. You recognize that? And if you know your word, a couple scriptures down, it says, no man has seen God's face and lived. And I'm like, all right. And I'm a researcher. Believe me, the commentaries don't know. People don't know. They don't know. I went to the Middle East, they know. See, you have to know, this is a world religion, but it was written in the context and the culture of the East, the Middle East. And so they would get this right away. He said, Moses is my friend. God says, Moses is my friend. We speak as friends face to face. I need a volunteer, a male volunteer. Anybody? You want to volunteer? Okay, I won't embarrass you too bad. When I got over there, I want to tell you, there is a heaviness and there's a darkness there that I can't describe. And when you're in that heaviness and living there for long periods of time in that heaviness and that darkness, you know, when they get friends, it's something special we are missing. They have friends like you cannot understand. They hang on to it like you could not understand. We are missing something. Now, I will take independence and freedom any day. But in that darkness, when they get a friend, they don't make friends easy, but when they make friends, they hang on. And I would always kind of chuckle because I'd be sitting with some of my Turkish friends, and then here would become one of their buddies or their friends coming, and they would rise up and go meet this person, and they would act like they haven't seen this person in 2 years. I knew they just saw each other yesterday. That's the kind of friendship it is. It's not taken for granted. It's like they're thinking, we may leave and never see each other again. And so it's a party when they meet. And when they do meet, now I'm not going to kiss you. They would kiss. But they come and meet and they go face to face. And they kiss. And face to face. And they continue, thank you, a party face to face. You don't do that with just anybody, just those intimate friends. I believe that's what God was saying. Moses is my friend. We speak face to face. Amen? That's where we need to be. Tracking with God. Friends. Face to face. Amen? All right, last point goes the quickest. The last point I'm going to read here, verse 9. Maybe for time, I won't even read it. What do you think? I don't read it. Okay. Verse 9, it says, "You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him." This last point again, I'll just quick review. The first point was prepare. Extraordinary times, extraordinary living. Prepare for the coming of the Lord, the road system, our hearts. Position, where we need to be. We're going places we have never seen. We have seen things in our day. I have to reiterate, I wish I could stay on that list. Things that other people never saw. Preachers preached this for 100 years ago by faith, never saw it. You and I see it. We are privileged. It's amazing. And my last point is proclaim. Prepare, position, proclaim. God's asking us to proclaim. You know that you and I are God's plan A and there is no plan B. We are it. I want to tell you, out of 6.6 billion people in the world today, somehow God has seen fit. You are saved. Do you know how many people will not listen to the call of the Holy Spirit? He says he would have none to perish, but ultimately the Bible speaks most will. But somehow out of 6.6 billion people, God has seen fit that you are saved today. I can't tell you how special you are here today. One of the sweetest scriptures I have ever read in the Bible, I love them all, but is in John where Jesus said, "You have not chosen me, I chose you." I don't care how you came to Christ. I don't care if you don't know Christ here today, you can. But he chose you. I don't know if you had a great heritage and grandparents and all these people that knew Christ and won a lot of battles that you don't have to now, and that generational blessing has come down into your life. Or if he got you like he did by me, the nap of the neck, and pulled me out and said, "You." What other way? It doesn't matter. He says, "You did not choose me. I chose you." I'm just trying to listen to the Holy Spirit. And he said that you would go and bear fruit, and your fruit remain. And I want to tell you, life goes so fast. It's so short. We only have one life to live, one chance, only one chance. In light of the length of our life to eternity, the number one thing in our life is to get ready for the day of our graduation into eternity. One of the things I like about the Pharaohs, there's only one thing. They were demonic. Their theology was demonic. But I want to tell you, they had one thing right. They spent their lifetime preparing a pyramid for the day of their graduation. They understood eternity was a real deal. Now, I don't say they were going to heaven, but they were graduating or failing or whatever they wanted to do. The main thing, we got to keep the main thing, especially in these days we live. I'm so excited to be living in these times. My mind can't grasp it all. I just can't imagine what we are doing and how we are chosen to be living in these times. And like I said, we only have one life to live. And do you know the only thing we do, the only thing that's going to count, the only thing that's going to remain is what we do in Christ in this lifetime. It's not going to matter what you drove. It's not going to matter where you lived. It's not going to matter what you wore. One thing's going to matter. Who's going to know about all that after this short little life? No one. One thing is going to matter, what we did in Christ. It will not burn up. It will stand. I think it reminds me of the disciples. I remember when the disciples said, "Lord, look at this great temple." I'm not talking about this. I just tend to be whatever. Look at these great stones. And it was like the Lord, I'm paraphrasing, "What are you, nuts? What are you, crazy? You're talking about a stone. You're talking about a car. You're talking about a home. You're missing the real deal." It's only what you do in Christ is going to remain. And life goes so fast. It's incredible. I love the Word of God, how it shows us all the time in nature how fast life goes. One of the ways it does is the Word of God says it's like a mist that forms in the ground when you wake up and the sun comes up. Till the sun comes up, burns the mist away, one life. It talks in another place about the length of life like a breath. One life. My favorite is where it talks about the Word of God says it's like the sun coming up. Of course, we go around the sun. But the sun coming up and casting a shadow. Oh, you could preach there, Pastor, huh? The sun casts a shadow off your body onto the earth. Till it comes up, noonday shortens the shadow, till it goes down and around. One life. It's amazing, the Word of God. You know your Word. You walk out here, God's speaking to us all over. All you do is walk outside. The Scripture before that talked about grass that is green but burns in the noonday. Talked about a flower. I just read it. It blooms. It has a season of beauty and then dies. Everything we have, he's saying, make and keep the real deal, the main thing, the main thing. I know we get caught up with so much. And I just want to encourage you to proclaim the gospel in whatever way God has created you. You will never be me. I can never be you. But you have a unique personality. You are chosen. You are a unique personality. You know how God works through you. Do that in whatever way. I'm not talking about being arrogant, ignorant, or anything like that. God can use you. You are special. If you have the anointing of God and the Holy Spirit in you, you can change the atmosphere of your company or any room you walk into. Boy, just thinking about the teaching of raising standards and stuff like that. But anyway, you have a sphere of people in your influence at home, your neighbors, your community, the people in your life. God sent you there. That's your mission field. There's no different. The only difference between you and I is the distance. That is it. The distance. There's no other difference. Some are called across the ocean. Some are called across the street. And believe me, I went across the street, or I don't think he'd send me across the ocean. So I just want to encourage you. You have what it takes. And I'll just finish with this last illustration here. Back to Turkey and Noah. Noah did exactly what I just preached. Noah had a strange word from God. He positioned himself on the Word of God. Things never happened before like that. Strange word, extraordinary things were preparing. And he stood on the Word of God and believed on it. What was the Word of God to him? It's going to rain. Well, it never rained. He didn't know what that was. Well, it's going to flood. What's a flood? I don't know what a flood is. You're going to build an ark. What's an ark? I don't know. I've never built an ark before. He had a strange word. He could have no reference point, but just like you and I have these words and see the things going on, how is it all going to happen? I don't know, but we see it. And we need to position on what God is telling us to do. So what did he do? He went and he prepared. He prepared an ark. He did extraordinary things. He built a boat, an ark that nobody ever built before. And you can imagine the persecution, but he prepared in extraordinary ways for the coming storm, for the coming Lord. Amen? And finally, by doing that, he was proclaiming. He was proclaiming the gospel. Amen. I want to pray. Father, I praise you and thank you, Father, for this day. And Father, I just pray that this word would not fall to the ground. I ask, oh Lord God, that you said that some would bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Yes. And so, Father, I pray that everybody would have a 100-fold heart here today. I believe they have heard the word. I believe they have received and understood the word. Now, Father, I pray that they would act upon the word and bear the according fruit. I pray that you would help us to make the corrections and the adjustments we need to make. I pray, Lord God, that we would get our hearts ready and prepare the road system in our heart, in our family, in our community. Father, I pray whatever the adjustments are, you would help us to make them, that you would speak to everyone here, Lord God. Speak to each and every one of us to make those adjustments. And Father, I pray, Lord, that we would be in the position that you want us to be. Father, only you and them can work that out, Lord God. Where are they supposed to be? What is the position you have for them in these final days, in these last days? And then finally, Father, help us, Lord. Help us to be bold. Help us to proclaim it. Help us to love those around us. Help us, Lord God, to be the light that we need to be. We live in extraordinary times. Father, help us to understand and realize and know what we need to do. And finally, Father, I praise you and I thank you. I'm going to ask real quick, is there anybody here that may not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, have never made that commitment, has never committed their life to Jesus Christ and asked the Holy Spirit to come into them and resurrect them from the dead? Because if you're without Christ, you're dead in your sin right now. You are dead. True death, biblical death, is separation from God, not physical body. Is there anybody here? Real quickly. I'd love to pray with you. Okay, we're going to just believe everybody's saved. Father, we thank you and we glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your patience. I'm sure I held you long. Thank you, Pastor.